Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Summer House Martha's Vineyard Season 1, Episode 3 Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
And we'll just go ahead and get this out of the way right now. See, we're on Episode 3 already because we, you know, picked this series up a little late, right? Terrell was seduced into watching it. Is that a proper description?
I wouldn't even call it seduced. It was just like, hey, y'all should do this. I'm like, babe, let me talk to Yanni about it.
Well, we won't ask how and when you were asked, but it was suggested. So, but he says let's watch it. So we watch it. I watch it, and then. Actually, before I even watch it, I walk out of the room. My wife's watching. I'm like, I guess we will be watching this then. And so we're already two episodes in and said, okay, well, let's recap on Sunday, episodes 1 and 2. And then, of course, episode 3 aired on Sunday. So here we are on Tuesday doing this recap of episode 3 so that now, after today, we'll be on Sundays after the show. So give you time to, for those of you who haven't watched it yet, because I've seen a number of people in the comments say, you know, well, I haven't watched this yet, but I might now that you guys are doing it. So we appreciate you coming along the journey with us because, you know, this is saying, hey, thank you, Chocolate Soon. Yay, Yanni. Sound like you've been drinking some nice tea. Thank you very much. It's good to have my voice back. it was out at the Playboy Bunny Club. Now, you know, a lot of new people finding us in this, so I just want to also remind everybody how we got here, first of all, right? A while back, Terrell made a deal with the devil, said he would never watch reality TV until they had a Black Bachelor. Lo and behold, pandemic hits. Along comes Matt James. He's stuck watching The Bachelor. So me being the good friend that I am, I watched it with him. So in return, him being the good friend that he is, he watched one of my favorite shows, Married at First Sight. And obviously he likes it. We've done 4 seasons already, including this 14-season season that we're doing now, season 16. So, and then, as much as he says he hates reality TV, you know Terrell likes reality TV because he suggested we do this.
That's because I'm trying to take control of my life and my time. And so if I got to watch it, at least let me pick a show that I might want to try doing. And I only do this because we have amazing people like, you know, Robin, High Vibe, Keedy, all these folks that follow and join us on this journeys. Mm-hmm. That's one reason why I do it. I don't like the show, but at least I get a chance to pick one. And that way, if it's bad, like when you picked Ready to Love, that was painful. And I'm glad we're done with that and never doing that again. So I figured Summer House, this isn't a dating show.
Hold up. I did not pick Ready to Love. The people pick Ready to Love. Do not shit on the people this early like this. Don't do that.
Okay. So the people suggested Ready to Love, and you kept telling me, Terrell, we need to do Ready to Love. We should do Ready to Love. I've been checking out. We should do Ready to Love. And I was just like, I don't know. And so then I watched that episode. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. Like, this is what we're doing. So,
hey, you know what? Just to watch you suffer through it, it was worth it. All
right. But at least Summer House is a little bit more entertaining. They have a good cast of characters. You got a couple of your frat brothers on there. You got a couple of my frat brothers on there. And it's just young folks out in Martha's Vineyard having fun, maybe.
Well, the fun picked up where it left off in episode 2, and it was Phil versus everybody. this dude, man. I mean, he brought that energy from the minute he walked in the house. And when we left off, at episode 2 was Amir jumping up and standing up to Mr. Phil Brooks. I do what I want. And Amir stood up to him because he can't stand bullies.
Yeah. Kudos to Amir because somebody had to get in Phil's face. And I think Phil is just used to being that person that he can kind of punk and dominate people.
Yes.
And gets away with it. Mm-hmm. Like to me, like why would women like hanging out with him? Because you can't tell me he's not like this at all. and this is just something he just did for the cameras, he's really a sweet, gentle giant. I doubt it.
He's an ass.
So why do you even like being around those type of folks? I just don't get it. And so I'm glad that Amir stepped up and said something to him.
Yeah, because you remember, that's a great point you just had, because Shanice and Bria talked about how much fun Phil was. And they talked him up so much. And I'm like, yo, are y'all kidding me? And, you know, the interesting thing was when Preston and Alex said, hey, if Phil stays, then we're out. Now, keep in mind, Phil hasn't even put his suitcases, his luggage, anywhere really yet. They're still in the foyer, right? He hasn't unpacked one thing yet, because the sweatsuit he showed up in, he went to the club in. They're back from the club, and here's this mess. Well, as the group goes to talk, before the group goes to talk, Jordan goes to talk to Phil, right? Because she's like, I've been looking forward to meeting Phil because these other folks have been telling me how great he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet this guy. So she goes to meet him, and Phil doesn't back down, starts off with that negative energy, and here's what I love about Jordan. Hey, don't cuss at me. I'm here trying to talk to you. Stop it. Calm that shit down.
Right. Well, and I think that just says a lot about him. I think you're coming across very disrespectful to women.
Mm.
And if you're on this show, you're around a lot of these, you know, smart, educated, talented women. I don't think any woman should be disrespected. But just don't start cussing at her like she's one of your homeboys. I thought that was right. Quite rude. But it just goes to show, like, okay, Shanice and Bria are for the streets. That's why they like Phil.
Yeah. You know, so
of course, they think he's awesome. He's fun to be around. But I don't like any dude that just talks to women any kind of way and starts cussing at them and just being dumb. And then, you know, he's tries to use humor, not even to de-escalate, but just to distract.
So to distract,
she's
exactly.
Him, like, what is your deal? You took a shit in the toilet, da da da. And he's like, I'll do it in yours too. And then I had to go chase Milo. I bet you couldn't keep up, Milo. I got $100 cash money.
Yeah,
then
that you was couldn't stupid. Catch Milo.
All that was just dumb.
Yeah, he just kept trying to pass the blame along, tried to blame Bria, tried to blame Milo, which was the stupidest thing. Because like, but Milo, what does he have to do with this? But here's the thing I like that Jordan did prior to him trying to distract. And this is why he had to pull that tactic. The distraction tactic, like squirrel. He had to do that because she said, well, when were you supposed to be here? Because he's making this deal about the room. Like, but when were you supposed to be here? The first day? He's like, well, no, but I'm here every day. I'm here all the time. No. You weren't even supposed to be there the first day. You missed your flight. You lost all claims to anything in this house. When you get here, you get what you get. Plain and simple.
That's the rules everywhere. Unless it's like you paid the majority of the cost, you can say, hey, that room is my room. I'm going to be there 2 days late. That can work. But you just can't walk in and be like, yeah, no, I called this one a couple days ago.
On the phone.
Here. Yeah, on the phone. They show me a picture. I said, yeah, that's my room. I'll take that one. No, I thought he's totally off. And I don't know if his goal was to come on here and try to be as outrageous as possible in hopes of getting some type of spinoff.
Right.
Or something. Mm-hmm. But I just thought he was really
for his Phil fanatics.
I think he just made an ass of himself. And I think that those that invited him should also reevaluate their friendships.
They really should. Here's what I like. And this is why in this interaction with them, I'm like, Jordan is the best. Because Jordan says, well, Phil is being rude. And he's like, rude? How am I being rude? I called you. I said you were cute. And she's like, oh, my God, Phil said I'm cute. Oh, my God, I can go on with my day now.
Yeah, to me, telling somebody who you know is upset with you, oh, well, I think you're cute, I think that's going to de-escalate, is the equivalent of just saying, you know, you should smile more.
Yes. And then he has a note to say he's a gentleman. And then she's like, no, you're no gentleman. You're just a mother sitting on the couch.
Yeah. No, he's not. But what I didn't like about Jordan is...
Yeah, I knew this was coming. Go ahead.
All that energy where she's all of a sudden want to get froggy and get in his face. Because let's just be honest with ourselves. Mm. Jordan can't take Phil at all. Mm-mm. But what she did is she waited till a few more people came. She sees the producers are big enough. They have her back. Now she's going to jump in his face and she wants to fight him. Stop that. And my other issue with Jordan is, and I think this is just youth, right? People are young and they have alcohol in their system. But when you are supposedly these professionals that they claim to be when they first came on and they have their lives together. You handle situations better. You handle conflict like adults. And what she did is she just went straight high school and trying to fight a man twice her size. But knowing that he's not going to do anything because all these people are around. I just don't get that.
Okay, we've said this before. You know, our forever first lady, Michelle Obama, said, when they go low, we go high. And Charlamagne says, when they go low, we take it to the floor. She was ready to take it to the floor with him. Now, granted, you're right. She didn't wait till the producers, who were just as big, just as tall and a little bit bigger.
Because if they went to the floor, it would have been problems. Yeah. That's what I'm just saying. It's like it's people like that where their instinct is to want to get into an altercation, knowing that there's no way. Especially small Jordan trying to, you know, talk to Phil like she's about to whip his ass. Just be an adult and just say, because it doesn't matter. Y'all, eventually you're going to kick him out. You're going to have the conversation and you could totally do that. I think there's just a better, classier way to conduct and handle yourself.
Robin agrees. She said that Jordan didn't help. She didn't help when she got agitated like that and got extra. That bit, that was a bit over the top. Everything else before that, kudos. That part.
Right.
As much as I would hate to agree with you, I agree with you. That part she didn't need to do, and you're right. It was because there was back. Hold me back. Hold me back.
Yeah.
And we know women should never be trying to fight men because men should never fight women in the first place. Let's just get that clear. And
never.
And now, if he came at her first and she had to defend herself, I get that. But he didn't. So.
True.
They decide to all get everybody together. Let's talk about it. And Silas breaks out the football like he's at camp. I know it's the summer house, but is it summer camp house?
No, he went Lord of the Flies. You can't talk unless you have the conch. I've got the conch right here. When I pass the conch, then you can speak. If you don't have the conch, you can't speak. That was straight Lord of the Flies. I was like,
I never saw that.
Silas, so. You never read Lord of the Flies?
No, I never read that. And it's a conch.
Conch? Is it? If you never read it, how do you know what it is?
Because it's a shell. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Carnival.
Thank you. I was like, when you said conch, I was like, you're talking about the grease that you put in your...
You're talking Detroit Red? Malcolm X?
That's what I was like. What does hair got to do with this?
Oh, you're an ass. Oh my God. Look, everybody decides, and it's funny, but they're like, well, you know, all in favor of Phil leaving, everybody's hands goes up. All in favor of him staying, everybody's hands goes down. Amir even lays on the pool table just to be like, let me let you know how much we want him to go. And then Bria decides, well, look, if Phil has to go, I need some blood too. Give me Maria.
Yeah. I'm still just throwing on that because the whole Mariah Bria thing and she assaulted her. And I feel like that was a Karen move. I was assaulted. I was attacked. It's like, no, you weren't. Mm-hmm. And Bria threw something at Mariah, which made Mariah actually push her a little bit.
Right.
But Bria threw something at her. But that obviously doesn't mean anything.
Apparently not, because Mariah's reflexes were good enough that she's able to, you know, duck it. So,
what's that, bitch? All right.
But look, here's the thing: Jordan jumps on the kick Mariah out train too, and it's like, which we saw out in front of the club when liquor's involved. You see, because that demonstration was a little over the top, as we talked about last time. So. Here it is. We get to the exorcism, as I like to call it, as Bree has to tell Phil that he has to go. And what does he do? He blames her.
Wait, Phil blamed Bria.
Yep, he blamed her.
Because she didn't mark the room.
She didn't put
and
note
save
on
the room for him.
Exactly.
And because of all of that, she...
At least he did it to her face. He did it behind her back a number of times, but he did it to her face when she kicked him out.
That just shows how weak Phil is. What you're saying is Bria didn't do her job to mark and protect your room.
Yeah.
And because of that, that caused your bowels to activate. You had to go drop a deuce in the room.
Yes.
Because it's Bria's fault.
You had to act like a child to do that.
Yeah.
You know,
he's just weak.
He is. He really isn't. And he even continues to show that after he's out of the house. Because the next day, Bria said, you know, well, Phil really embarrassed her. So she had Shanice call him. And Shanice tells him, look, all you have to do is apologize to everyone. And I'm thinking, and what do you think is going to happen if he does? But she tells him that, and his response?
Yeah, F all y'all. Yeah. And you don't want him in the house. You don't need him to apologize. When someone shows you who they are, mm-hmm. okay, got it. And now you're good. There's nothing that he could have said mm-hmm. that would have made anyone else be like, you know what? I hear you. You traveled a long day. You're tired. This wasn't really you. We forgive you. There was mm-hmm. nothing he could have said that would have gotten that.
Right. No, exactly. That wasn't going to happen. So Jasmine has to tell Mariah that she has to go. And Mariah is obviously upset, even though she really doesn't say anything to Jasmine in that moment. But in that confessional, she's like, you know what? I'm asking, why is Jasmine so comfortable having conversations without me there? Is that a real question?
Well, I see Mariah's point, because if this has been your best friend for how many years, she could at least came and talked to you real quick and said, hey, here's what's going down. We're going to meet later. And maybe they did, and just the producers didn't show it. But I would be annoyed with that, too, that if all of a sudden we're all hanging and then you're like, hey, Terrell, me and the guys, we met and they want you to go. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, seriously, Yanni? That's what we're doing? You wait till we go live again.
Yeah, she was not happy, and she's like, you know, you got to reevaluate the friendships. But then she even says, like, all right, I got some stuff I need to work out, and I get to spend some more time with my son. Deuces.
Good, and it was good for her, and you know, she took a while to pack her stuff that morning. But kudos to Amir to give her a hug and be like, hey, sorry, didn't work out.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I was going to save this for later, but we're here. And Great House 2 says Amir's move was that of a bozo. Not talking about the hug. Or maybe he is talking about the hug as well, because come to find out, Amir's the one that started the fight in the first place. That fight between Bria and Mariah, that was all Amir's fault.
Mm-hmm. Because he just threw all the laundry together and was just like, hey, thinking he's being helpful. Now, I think what's... And I wouldn't even call this shady. I just think Amir should have said something mm-hmm. and say, hey, Mariah, that's my fault. I threw all this laundry in. I didn't realize that this was part of the dogs. My bad.
He did.
Yeah, he was, you know.
He didn't even make a sound. He just said.
He pulled a Phil. It's like, you know, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Let y'all work this out.
Yeah. See, even Stacio admits Amir should have spoken up. That was wrong. It really, because he's like, oh, it had already escalated. You could have de-escalated. Hey, ladies, that's my fault. My bad. I didn't realize it was the dog stuff. That's on me.
Right.
You want to be mad at me. And, you know, that's the problem I think a lot of people have nowadays is that accountability, right?
Yeah.
People come with excuses all the time. I don't care about your excuses. It's like being on the golf course, right? It's not about the bad shots you hit. It's about how you recover. So it's not about the mistakes you make. It's about how do you recover. And don't keep doing it. You know. So now he throws that dog stuff in there again. He's got to face the firing squad, because he got somebody kicked out based on something that he did.
Agree. He should have been accountable for his actions. And there's nothing wrong with that. And maybe that could have helped him in his pursuits of Jordan, because I think being accountable and say, I made a mistake is also a form of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And not many men, a lot of men struggle with being vulnerable. And I think he could easily say, hey, this is my fault. Owned it. Stop these friends from fighting because of something that he did. He should have spoke up, but he didn't.
High Vibe says Amir was scared of Mariah. Probably. Robin says, I think if Amir had spoken up, that definitely would have de-escalated the situation. I think so, too. And Karen is not holding it back at all, man. Amir's weak because he wasn't accountable. He stood up to Phil, but he, yeah, he was like, but Mariah, nah.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't ready for Mariah. So, you know, Mariah leaves, Phil leaves, and I guess they start the day the next day, right? With breakfast and all that?
Yeah. No. So the next thing after that, they get all that, but also part of that the night before, here's one thing that happened first, because Shanice, who I know you're not a fan of, who does she remind you of now?
Nobody.
Okay, so you said.
I'll talk about Shanice a bit.
It'll come out throughout the season. We'll figure out who it is. at least I will. The night before, she shows her boobs to Amir and Preston. Now, Preston, of course, was just like, hey, they look like mine. Well, two things. One, Amir, as soon as she goes back in the bathroom, Amir goes, looks at the camera, goes, did you catch that? Not if you didn't. The cameraman's like, that, which was kind of funny, right? But kudos to Amir for knowing what he wants, and that's Jordan. And so he wasn't going to play into Shanice's tactics there and was like, nah.
But see, this is my issue with Shanice on that. It's not that I'm anti-boobs, don't get me wrong. No. But
please put those away.
I'm just saying, you don't know these men.
Right.
You don't know these people. You have to think from a safety standpoint. Why would you do that?
You forgot why she was coming.
This is not the Playboy Club. Huh? I get it.
Okay.
I get it. She was coming because she's ready to get some. Just ready to get some.
He's trying to entice with the perky boobs.
Have a little bit of class about yourself. Because not only this, it's not only on the show, you're on TV.
Yeah.
Like, you sign up for reality TV, a bit of your class level goes down.
Stop it. Do not do that.
But save yourself a little bit. I just think she's just messy.
Mm. Well, we find out just how messy because the next day when they're getting ready to go out to the y'all are so bad. High Vibe, you are so bad. I'm trying to move on from the boobs and you're going to talk about Shanice and the little bee stings. Look, what do guys always say? It's not the size of the boat. It's not the size of the boobs. It's the way they stand at attention. Oh my God. But look, they're getting ready to go to the beach for the Martha's Vineyard Olympics. And when Alex walks in, he offends Shanice because he's like, hey, respect. I need you to respect some boundaries, respect mm-hmm. my space. And she's just like taken aback, like, wait, whoa, what? Because remember, the minute she walked in, she's like, I'm coming for you. You're going to give me that pee I'm looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that she has that pretty privilege where I can do whatever I want. I can touch on guys because guys like it. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, as we find out a little bit later, Alex is like, you need to dial that back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that like shocked her.
Yes.
Because I think she felt like, but you don't like all of this?
Yes.
You don't, these bee stings do nothing for you?
y'all gonna leave her and her bee stings alone, okay?
There are
enough things to talk about with her on another side. But here's what I like about Alex, though. Alex admits, he's like, look, man, I'm in a different place in my life right now. Like me, I was the guy. Like, she is my type, and I was the F-boy that would go around and, you know, he's like, he would have knocked it down in a second, back in the day. But he's in a better space right now. You know, he's seeking more, higher elevation, if you will. Not exactly his words, but I'm paraphrasing.
No, I hear you. I think he's done some work on himself, which is good. Mm-hmm. I think it's great that, you know, he meditates and he's very...
He needs to stop with them poses on his back, though.
I think that he reflected on the fact that the F-boy that he was is not the man that he wants to be.
Right.
And at some point, you got to be the man to say, hey, no, I'm not into that. Right. Yeah, years ago, he totally would hooked up with Whitney. So I have a lot of respect for Alex for doing that.
Yeah, the fact that he goes, she is totally my type, but, you know, I think that says a lot because, you know, when they say you're about to fly right and the devil throws all that temptation in your face, mm-hmm. he's been flying right. It's nice and easy. He gets there and she's like, hey. And he's able to, but then come to find out what really happened is another part that happened is somebody sent him some articles about her dealings with her ex, who happens to be, as we decided to do some research ourselves, we found out Norman Towns from Insecure. And I saw his picture, I'm like, all right, his role wasn't that big in Insecure because I don't remember him. I was making, but he, had a lot of stuff. And it's interesting looking at the stuff that happened because this guy went on a full Instagram story rant about his ex, Shanice, right? Mm-hmm. But he brought a lot of receipts. And at first, the first two scenes I'm looking at, I'm like, well, why is he this? Why would he even bring this to social media? That's a bad move for a man to do. And then I kept going. And I was like, oh, yes, yes, Great House 2, Shanice the stalker. It was bad. And to the point that even when Jasmine tried to stick up for him, said, well, you know, if you don't answer the call, of course it's going to say I called 18 times. But when the producers asked her, what'd she say? Well, I may have done some of the things.
Yeah. She's crazy as all get out. And Jasmine, I mean, just for Jasmine to say that out loud. Hmm. Well, of course, if you don't answer the phone, of course you're going to have 18 missed calls. No, Jasmine. You should have told your friend Shanice to stop calling this man and move on. So I'm glad that Alex had someone in his corner that's like, hey, BTW,
stay away. You know, it was probably his frat brother Nick that did that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what Kappa men do. Help each other out.
Okay. So so I'm glad that he called that out. But to me, she even owns the fact that, yeah, I did some of that stuff, but it wasn't all that bad. I'm like, yeah, it was that bad. If a man is putting a restraining order on you,
yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, you see some of the stuff, making fake accounts making fake accounts of him, harassing his friends, making an OnlyFans of him. I mean, it was really bad. And Robin, I'm glad I'm not the only one because yeah, I don't remember him on Insecure. So. And I watched that, so so I don't know what happened. I don't remember him. But yeah, so at least they have the conversation. I like the fact that, because she doesn't want the, it's just kind of weird. She didn't want the confrontation. She didn't want to talk to him about it. But she's talking about the fact that he wants boundaries. And she's talking about it with everybody else, but she doesn't want to talk to him. They force her to have that conversation. They have that conversation. And he is definitely trying his best not to look her in the eyes. Keep them shades on. Do not look in her eyes and fall into the trap. Do not do it. I don't want to be the next one to have to go on an Instagram story rant talking about all these things that she did.
Yeah. And you could tell Alex's whole body language. He's like, I'm not feeling this.
Yep.
There's nothing that you're going to do that's going to make me interested. And good for him. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's easy for men to be so, you know, smitten by beauty, but not realize all the bullshit that comes with it. And that's what I see about Shanice, is that she's very attractive, but a lot of bullshit and problems going to come with that if you date her.
That's exactly what Stacey's saying here. Men tolerate a lot when a woman is beautiful. I'm sure she was a handful the entire time, but he looked the other way until it was intolerable. You know, the thing about it is that's a lot. That's a lot of things. There are a lot of red flags that we all see, right? But we have blinders on and we don't see them. And, you know, we see them, but we don't see them. Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, when they say hindsight is 20/20, especially in relationships.
Yeah. I mean, if you're focused on looks and all that stuff fades. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It has to be about the character and it has to be about the person. I don't care if you're in your 20s or in your 50s. It has to be about something inside that person because the looks are going to go away. And Shanice, enjoy it now. Enjoy it all while it lasts.
Well, maybe she's learned. Maybe she's grown. And now, Alex is not going to be the one to find out because smart man, move on.
Yeah, I don't think she's learned anything.
Look, couple things here. just because I have no idea who this guy is, and I know I've watched it, but I'm not the only one, because Monique says, I've seen every episode at least 5 times, and I had no idea who that man was when I looked him up. That means he had, like Chocolate Suda said, he's had little bit parts on some other shows. Okay, that may be a little too personal. I'm kidding. But here's the thing about it. The one thing I will say that he did, as I went through the screenshots, he said that he wasn't going to say, to protect her, he wasn't going to say what she did, why they broke up. But then he does it and shows a text thread that he came across, quote unquote, on her computer, that she slept with him last night, somebody else tonight, and a football player tomorrow is in the plan. You know, and that's why he said he broke up with her. So what the real truth is, it's going to be interesting to see. So,
yeah, but now that could explain why she's all coming to Martha's Vineyard, because she wants to get some pee. Yeah.
And, you know, Michelle has a good point. Good for Alex, but moving on, Shanice. Could be like Morgan on Ready to Love. Bingo.
Yeah.
Yo, we get to dinner. Let's talk mac and cheese, because your frat brother, what is his problem? He says breadcrumbs is a surefire way to never be invited into a black ass home again.
Yes. So I don't know about you, because I don't know how they do it in the islands. But for me growing up, there was always two questions every holiday. Who made the greens? And who made the mac and cheese?
Mac and cheese, yep.
And there were certain family members. If Aunt so-and-so made the greens, you know it was going to be slamming.
Mm-hmm.
If Aunt so-and-so made the mac and cheese, you know it was going to be slamming. But if someone else tried to slide in with their mac and cheese, I'm like, no, don't you ever do this again. From now on, you bring the cups and paper plates. That's your job going forward. Don't bring any mac and cheese in this house again. So he's right.
No, he's not right. And I will stand on this and yell from the mountaintop, okay? Because Melissa says facts. Karen says no breadcrumbs. Listen, High Vibe says yep. But I'm gonna tell you this: I've used those breadcrumbs on my mac and cheese. And I'm gonna tell you something. He talk about that black ass home. Well, I grew up in a black ass home in a black ass country. Then black that's blacker than the one he grew up in. So let's not even talk about black, okay?
Yeah. Okay, maybe we should have said from Southern United States.
Okay, now that, because some of y'all put mustard in your mac and cheese. Nasty as hell. Don't ever do that shit.
Well, and let's just be clear right now, and I want to say this publicly. Don't you bring me any mac and cheese with some breadcrumbs on it. I don't care if it was your mom's favorite recipe. Don't you slide in with that bullshit. I'm like, nope. I'm not doing this. So you can enjoy your crumbs and your mac and cheese. I'm going to eat the mac and cheese the way I grew up. And if I have a get together and you're coming, don't you bring your mac and cheese to my house. I'm telling you, if you're like, I'm making mac and cheese. I'm like, nope, cups, solo cups and paper plates. That's what I need you to bring. And ice. Get a bag of ice, because you can't mess that up.
Look, there are different ways to do this. I'm just saying, there are different ways to do this.
Yeah, you eat that at your house all day long. Don't bring your breadcrumb mac and cheese to other folks' house. That's rude. That's rude. Hey,
apparently you and Michelle on the same thing. She said, don't bring that to my house. I'm like, look, let me explain something to you, okay? I remember the first time I had mac and cheese with mustard in it. And I just looked at it and was like, this is some really yellow mac and cheese. I took one taste, I'm like, something's wrong with this. Took another taste, I'm like, is there mustard in this? And like, yeah. I'm like, oh, hell no. Who does this? Now, mustard over breadcrumbs? Seriously?
Maybe you'd have put some of your breadcrumbs on the little mustard mac and cheese. Maybe that would have helped it. I don't recall having mustard in mac and cheese. I don't think I've had that. So I don't know those people that do that. I've never heard of mustard going in mac and cheese.
You and Stacey both, but trust me, I know places that even restaurants that do it. I hadn't heard of it before either. I'd never heard of it when I came across it.
Are you going to that has mustard in
it? There's a soul food restaurant in Charleston that does it. I don't know why, but then I also talked to different people who they say, oh yeah, well we always put mustard in. I'm like, Yeah, I'm never eating mac and cheese from your house.
At the soul food restaurant, were all the cooks white or black?
Because it's Charleston, they were black. Nice try. Kitty says there's a world where I can see crumbs working. I've even seen a recipe for it, but there are enough carbs without the crumbs. And L. Ramey says I've actually tasted breadcrumbs on it, and it was fire. You're damn right.
Okay, if done right, I could see breadcrumbs as a garnish.
I'm not saying
of the mac and cheese.
No, I'm not saying pour it on. It's there to add some of that crispiness to the crust. And if you don't like a crispy crust, then I get it. But if you like a nice
mac and cheese, I don't need my mac and cheese crispy.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I like my mac and cheese nice and creamy, the way God intended.
Oh, boy. Here you go. Here you go. All right. We'll leave it alone. I do like the fact that Amir talked about the fact that he's a picky eater and he likes to cook. His mom made him learn how to cook. She's like, no, I'm not cooking for you. You're going to learn to cook on your own. And you can see Jordan just, you know, in a trance as he's talking about, you know, cooking the steak and, you know, just getting the lines on it, then putting it in the oven.
But I think kudos to Amir's mom, because there's so many men that can't cook. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to say, I know how to boil water and I can do an egg, I can make breakfast, but I enjoy cooking and trying some different things that I have not either made before or just kind of going all out, especially when I'm cooking for friends or anyone. And so the fact that Amir has that knowledge, I think it's going to help him mm-hmm. with trying to woo Jordan. Because to me, Jordan doesn't look like she can make some mac and cheese.
Well, you don't want Amir making the mac and cheese either, because remember, his mom's recipe was Velveeta shells. So, you don't want, if you thought my breadcrumbs were bad, okay, that's fine. You don't want his.
But Old School Meals was good. I was going back and forth on IG today with somebody talking about food, because they were making a comment about the thing I said about someone's wings or the girl eating wings, and I didn't like her, the way she ate her wings. Then we just start talking about food. And remember, like, when you're young and poor, you had things like Spam or that bologna with a little red thing around it, and you'd fry it and just make a little bubble in the middle. Mm-hmm. But if you, like, fry an egg next to that and then get you a little slice of that government cheese, put that on a sandwich, that stuff was fire back in the day. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to make it now. But when I was a kid, I was like, this is delicious. So, yo, those Velveeta shells, I get it. Probably what you wouldn't do now that you know better. But still, it was good.
Hi, Vibe, to answer your question. Okay, I'm going to let you answer the question yourself, right? So Amir is black and Lebanese. He grew up with the Lebanese parent because the black parent was absent. You determine whether his mama was black or Lebanese. I'm sorry.
He grew up with the Lebanese mom. The dad, for whatever reason, was absent. We don't know the story.
Okay, we don't. Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. I can't say the dad went to go get a pack of cigarettes and never came home. I don't know.
I'm going
to
get some milk. I'm going to go get some goat's milk. He's like, oh, man, I couldn't find a goat. I'm sorry. I've been searching for 18 years.
He's gonna come back. He's on TV now. He's gonna come back with that full glass of goat's milk.
Got it. Go.
Got it. We good? We good now? I saw you on television. Look at my boy.
I tell you how hard it was to find this goat, and then to milk it too. Oh, Jesus. Oh my God. Oh, all right, I'm done. Look, your other frat brother, Silas, he's got a problem. He's a control freak, plain and simple. The whole conversation everybody's having about the girls' night out and the guys' night out. And you knew it was going to go bad. We were like, so what are you guys going to do when you go out? And they're like, well, why don't you ladies go first? I went, uh-oh, this isn't good. Mm.
No, I'm going to disagree with you right here, sir. I agree with my frat brother, Silas, because...
Of course you would.
Jasmine, you're married now. You can't be holier than thou, Mary, and then also want to go out to the streets and get free drinks. Because Silas is right. When guys are buying drinks, you never know. You got people that are in Martha's Vineyard there just for the vacation. Mm-hmm. So it's like Vegas. You just never know. But most guys don't have positive intention. I've never just bought someone a drink because she looked thirsty. You know, there was always a reason why I offered to buy somebody a drink.
You heffa.
But I never was like, wow, that girl over there who I don't know looks like her drink is low. That doesn't seem like a good idea. Let me help. No, there's a reason where I'm like,
wait a minute.
Hey, I noticed that you're, can I buy you another drink? Hey, can I get two?
It's not like she's out by herself. It's a group of girls. You're not now.
Messy.
So here's a question. Do you go out with a group of girls and then if you see a group of girls out and they're like, okay, you buy one a drink or you buy them all a drink? What are you going to do?
It depends.
Wait, before you say what it depends on, I've got to say shout out to Mary for that that super sticker. Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Much love, much respect.
And so now, because of that, I'll tell her why it really depends.
Yeah, please do. Look, hold up. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so would I buy a table of women drinks? No, but it depends. If the one girl I'm interested in, and I just kind of pick up the vibe that her friends are probably going to be like, no guy is like me, so we need to go home. We got to be at work early tomorrow. They're going to be the downers. Then maybe I might buy everybody a drink just to give me more time to help the other person. But if all the other ones are all equally attractive and nice, I probably wouldn't. I just buy the one that I'm interested in. But again, I don't do that. I just don't offer to buy you drinks. I'd rather have a conversation with you or something like that. I'm not a feel like, hey, ladies, let's do shots. Da-da-da, so I can get y'all hammered so I can talk to your friend. But if you're my wife and you want a girls' night, I would have to trust that my wife is going to be like, hey, look, I'm married. Mm. But the problem is that most of her friends, they were all Playboy bunnies. They lived in the clubs. They lived in the streets. I would have some concern that that's what she wants to do is I want to go turn up and have people buy me free drinks.
Okay, Monique agrees with you because she says this is the first time I agree with control freak Silas. But like Michelle says, you're in a group, right? Everybody, guys want to buy drinks. All right, cool. Everybody gets a drink. You just tell them, hey, what's up with you? I'm married. You see this ring? Yes. Look, it's mm-hmm. it's really that simple. And if you trust your wife, she's out with her girls, you don't expect her to go acting. Come on, man. Stop it.
It's not that simple because what do guys out on vacation, out Vegas, Martha's Vineyard, whatever. Hey, I'm married. Challenge accepted. That's what that guy is going to be thinking. And especially if he's...
So you don't trust your wife? Is that what you're saying?
No. Here's the deal. I would hope that if I got married, I wouldn't marry somebody that's going to want to take free drinks from people. Because here's what Jasmine would do. Hey, you know, nice to meet you. Can you buy me a drink? Sure. But don't forget my girls. Can you buy them a drink?
And if it's buying just her a drink, difference.
I don't see her being that civil. I think she's that messy. And then, of course, Shanice, you're going to point to Shanice. He's going to be like, yeah, somebody here is getting it because Shanice wants the pee. So, no, I wouldn't trust them because of previous behavior. So I agree with Silas that you don't tell your husband, I'm going to go out with the girls and we're going to go out and flirt with guys and get free drinks. Why would you tell your husband that?
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the part. He mentioned that they met in the pandemic.
Right.
When everybody was locked inside. So this is her post Playboy Club bunny days. He's never seen her around her friends. The only thing he knows is every time he happens to call late and she's out late after 2 o'clock is with Jordan. So that's why he has a problem with Jordan. Well, hey, I see you're Jordan. And I raise you Shanice. Now what do you think? You put them all together, and what do you got? Pippity bobbity boo. Let's get to Mary Poppins on this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would have some concerns with that. You know, but again, they're all young. In your 20s, you still want to go clubbing and all that stuff. I just I just don't think it's a good idea to be out in a place you don't live and just open a guy's buying you free drinks. You ever been roofied? I've been roofied before.
No, and I haven't.
It's not fun. I've been roofied before. And so I just don't think it's safe to just go out and let somebody just randomly buy you drinks. I just don't think it's a smart move.
So a couple things here, right? So Mrs. Smith says, I've had many drinks purchased for me. I've never felt obligated to exchange anything except a smile and thank you. My ring speaks for itself. Because yet you don't have to. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, Stacey O says, I've said I was married before and the fool said, so what? Some people don't respect that. Very true. You know who else doesn't respect that sometimes? The person that's married. Now, does Jasmine respect the fact that she's married? And does Silas believe it? That's the real question. Because if he can't trust her, then why the hell are they married in the first place?
Well, I'm sure this is all for TV, the reality part of the show. But I think Jasmine, you know, I think Silas can trust Jasmine. I think his concern is when she gets out with her girls and it's hot girl summer at Martha's Vineyard and they all just want to act wild. She just goes with the crowd and then she gets tipsy and drunk.
How? She's got to come home to him. We've seen them banging on the TV.
It's not about her not coming home. Again, I'm looking at it from, I'm not thinking of Jasmine's going to wind up sleeping with somebody else.
Right.
I'm thinking that Jasmine, you could take a drink that's roofied from somebody and you don't know these people. You're in a place, you don't know anybody. Silas is at one place, you're here. It's just not a smart thing to do when you're out and about.
Okay, Michelle says it's only smart if you're sitting at the bar watching them pour the drinks. I'm with you on that because I don't accept drinks from people. And this is why I've probably never been roofied. I don't turn my back on my drinks. I've never accepted a drink. Just, here, take a shot. Nah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. So, and that's me as a man. And so I would advise any woman to not do that ever.
Yeah,
ever.
You walk away from your drink is done. Even if it's full, you go to the bathroom, you come back, toss that drink out because you just never know. But I'm just, again, you're out and about in a place that everybody's there to kind of party. It's just, you got to be smart about it. And I think Jasmine's just not being smart to say, we want to go to the club. I get it. She can go to the club with the girls and all that stuff. But if you also know that your man has issue with it, why poke the bear?
Yeah, but his issue is ridiculous. He is being a control freak. He really is. Think about it. And everybody's making fun of him in that, baby. Every 2 minutes, he's calling for her. He's a control freak. And you're going to defend him to the end of the earth because he is your frat brother. But you know this man is way too controlling.
No. It's not because he's my frat brother. He could be something worse. He could be a Kappa. I still would defend him. I still would defend him
You're
and
an
say,
asshole.
Hey, I think he is right in what he's saying. It doesn't matter about his Greek affiliations. I just agree with what he's saying. And I think if the shoe was on the other foot, would Jasmine be okay with Silas being out with the boys and attractive women buying Silas drinks? And flirting with Silas. Is she going to be okay with it? I don't think so, because
she's
I think her and her clique of friends are kind of hood and from the streets.
No, and here's the thing. I think in reverse, she has no problem with it. And I say that for the simple fact of, now, you know why she'd have a problem with it now? Because of the way he's acting. And once you set that precedent, then bro, you better not ever speak to a woman that I don't know.
I'm sorry, you work in the Playboy Club. She sees how women are on men and how women can flirt with men and do all these different things. I don't think she'd be okay with it. And let's find that out. I would love to see if next week's episode, the guys are out somewhere. She finds out some girl was trying to hit on her man and she's okay with it.
If he entertains it, she's going to be mad because he's already set the precedent.
She's entertaining it by accepting the drink.
It's a drink.
It's flirting. The guy has a purpose why he's getting you the drink. It's not just because you're thirsty. So she's accepting. His whole point was go out and have fun with your girls. Just don't let guys buy you drinks. There's nothing wrong with what he said there.
No. He took it another level when he said, well, you pay for all your own drinks.
Don't let the guys buy you drinks. Pay for your drinks.
He said that first, but then he was like, on the you pay for your own drinks. And which is, again, I think it's silly if somebody's Hey, buy you ladies. See, now you have never bought women a drink that you didn't want something from. I've bought women a drink and walked off and never spoken to them ever again. Just because. Why?
That's because you had a free tab while you were DJing at the club. That's not like you paid for it. There's a difference. I put on my tab. Here's my credit card. I want to buy this nice young lady a drink.
Nice try. What are That's you not the case, but nice try.
Yeah. So you already had an open tab because you were DJing. So, yeah.
I didn't write it off. But you wasn't a Michelob
Ultra? Yeah, that's fine. Get you a Michelob Ultra. That's fine. I was sitting there doing, you know, really nice Blanton's old fashions. I'm getting some good shit because I know that's what you like. Okay, hey, how you doing? If I bought you a drink, there was a reason that I tried to buy you a drink if I didn't know you. If we're already friends, coworkers, colleagues, and I'm buying around, but if I just approach a female that I think is single or I don't see a ring on, maybe she took it off, I'm buying you a drink for a reason. And Silas's point is, don't let these guys buy you drinks because they're buying it for a reason. It's not just because to be nice and look like you're thirsty. Oops, I bought an extra vodka soda. My bad. Do you want it? No.
Yeah. JG is along the same lines as you, saying it's not that simple. Some men think you owe them something. You can't control how the man acts. Fair. However, doesn't mean that everybody, and I get it. No, so, okay.
It doesn't mean that everybody is out to get you, but again, you gotta be safe and think.
Well, all right. Well, I'm just saying, your frat brother's not looking good in this. There's some people who agree with you.
He looks great to me. I think he's doing a great job.
And by the way, you said all that, and now Ravine's like, oh, now I want an old fashioned.
Yeah, old fashions are good. I gotta cut back on the dark liquor. So notice y'all see me drinking either vodka or wine. It's because I've learned that brown liquor makes me hungry. And there's been too many nights where it's like midnight, I'm defrosting the ribeye, or I'm making a run to Whataburger at 12:30, and I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this. And so after having a physical and looking at my blood work, I'm like, I gotta make some changes.
Well, you know, speaking of changes, there's obviously changes need to be made with Silas and Jasmine as well, too. And kudos to you on making your changes so you're not cooking steak later. You're not 21 anymore. Stop that. You can't do that. I used to do that. Come from the club, cook a full meal, eat it, and go straight to sleep. You can't do that anymore, right? You can't. Stacey O calls that the munchies. So you sure it's just the liquor? You sure it's the brown liquor?
No, yeah, it's just the liquor.
So here's what High Vibe says about Silas and Jasmine, though. Those two don't know each other. She's not ready to be married, and he's controlling. Because he is controlling. He is very controlling. And Donna D says, Silas needs to give Jasmine extra money so she can buy her own drinks then. If this is what you want, well, I know it's four of us here. Get three drinks. I'll buy my own. Give us some money for it.
I just think we're making too big a deal over what Silas is saying, even though he's right. They're married. They probably have, if not a joint account, they have access to each other's money, probably. She can buy her own drinks. You know, Jordan could buy a round of drinks for her. Oh, that's fine. His whole point was he doesn't want these men at this club to buy her drinks. There's nothing wrong with that.
Andrew says that suffocating love doesn't last long, especially on the receiving end of that love. And we saw that when she got in the confessional. She's like, it's tough navigating this married life. And I got to do this for decades and decades and decades. They ain't going to last. Well, they might not last this season.
Maybe not after TV. After TV life, maybe it's not going to last. But I'm like, that's what you signed up for. Mm-hmm. You know, so don't complain. You signed up for that. You got to compromise. Oh. Right. You taught me that when you got married and the beams of light came out of your hands and you had this level of knowledge, you were like, tarot relationships are about compromise. And you have to me, this is a compromise. Babe, I want you to go out with your girlfriends and have a good time. I don't want random dudes buying you drinks.
Hey, Michelle has a great point. Silas doesn't want her going out with her girls at all. And Mrs. Smith says, Silas is projecting. He must have been like Terrell and had expectations on those drink purchases. Most men just like to see friendly and or pretty women enjoying themselves. Like me. Like, yeah. Unless you ask me for one. You ask for it, I'm like, all right, go ask Terrell. Because he'll...
You're right. Most men just like to see friendly and pretty women having a good time. That's all we want. Well, I love to see beautiful ladies frolicking around in the club, having a good time. Yeah, that's our goal. No, I think my favorite comment is from Karen. I agree with Terrell.
Of course that's your favorite comment.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, No Channel has a great point on this, though. She married him during COVID when she needed that stability. She realizes she doesn't need it anymore.
Look, I mean, because she doesn't have to work.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There's that.
And yeah, if you don't have to work and I'm taking care of everything, all I ask is don't let random dudes buy you drinks at the club.
Well,
I think that's a fair deal.
Okay, when you put it that way.
That's a fair deal. You can stay at home, do whatever you want. I'm good. Just don't let random dudes buy you drinks at the club.
When you put it that way, all right. So before we get out of here, last thing that we see on the show, Nick reveals he has a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then, wait a minute, wasn't he jumping into everybody's DMs and flirting, though?
Mm-hmm. He sure was. Just goes to show how messy your boys can be.
See, I just wanted to give you a chance to say something about us after your boys look really bad on this today show.
No, that's great. I'm just saying that's that cap away. He has a relationship, somebody back in New York he really likes, but yet he knows he's about to go to Martha's Vineyard. He starts to look at everybody's Instagrams, and then here he comes into the DMs, getting everybody's DMs. Yeah, he's just, yo, baby, yo, doing all that bullshit. That's what y'all do.
See, that's exactly why your camera froze. That's exactly why your camera froze.
Is that how you do it? Am I doing it right?
Yo, Robin doesn't believe him, though. She says he's lying.
Who knows? Who knows? Apparently, he's texting somebody because they show that. Hmm. But he's still sliding in the DMs while he's in this relationship. And he told Shanice he wants to marry her and all that kind of stuff. So, again, I just think Nick is kind of full of shit. Maybe we're going to find out more about him. But you can't tell me you're in this relationship and you got a girlfriend and there you are.
Now, could be.
I just want to keep doing this the rest of the night.
I know. Of course you do. Half the apples want to be cappers. The other half I won't say on this podcast. The fact is, though, think about this. He may not be like you or I, right? Like, for me, I've never had a woman ever say she's my girlfriend if I didn't think she had long-term potential, right? So mm-hmm. That's why I haven't had a lot of girlfriends per se, right? And the minute I met my wife, I knew she was going to be my wife. The minute I met her, I knew that. Nick is dating somebody, but it's like, this ain't the one. So he's like, I'm going to pursue my other options at the same time. Not saying it's right, but the woman he's with is not the one he wants to be with. Plain and simple.
Well, but okay, but here's this other thought. What if he was starting to date somebody and then he realized he's going on the show, going to Martha's Vineyard, and he's looking at the people, he's sliding into the DMs, and then over the course of time, by the time that happened to when he actually shows up, his relationship is a little bit more serious now.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, he's not actively flirting with people on the show.
Stacey's saying the same thing I said. He has a placeholder. That's what it is, a placeholder, somebody there just to have some fun with. The difference is he makes her think she's the girlfriend. That's not what you do. You don't do that. JG has an interesting point. He thought the big secret was that he was bisexual or something. That's actually more believable. Stop it. It's because the man wears spectacles.
I don't think that's why.
Because he has an extensive wardrobe?
It's all of those things.
Has he looked at Preston any kind of funny way?
Don't know. But I don't think Preston would be interested.
Yeah, you're right. That's above Preston's grade.
Wow.
Hey, I just got to say this before we get out of here. Shoulder shimmies are us. That's actually pretty funny.
Shimmy into the DMs. That's how it is.
Hey, don't forget, we're back tomorrow night. Married at First Sight, season 16, episode 432. We'll be there to recap it as we go through this never-ending season. And then Sunday, we're back episode 4, Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. That will be at 10:15, 9:15 Central, because I realize I actually can watch it on Sunday. I don't have to wait till Monday. So, yeah, we can do that.
Well, good, good. We can do that. And 105 people on watching us do this around with Summer House. Please hit the like button.
Yes.
Definitely appreciate everybody hanging out with us on this tonight.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you found on the internet. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
Put up the empty glass. Go ahead.